Come on, high five your neighbor and say, welcome. High five your neighbor and say, welcome to the house of God, where the blessings of God are being dispersed. Do you receive it? Shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory to God. You may be seated if you can. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I promise to get you out of here real quick here. All right. I'm going to go ahead and release the children. Lionel, if we can hold it for next Sunday, Mr. Lionel. Let's see how quick I can get this done. Maybe we'll get you to do it at the end. If not, we'll do it on Sunday. All right. Let's release the children and the teachers that are going in the back with the children. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's a time of celebration. It's a time of change. And it's a time of impartation. Amen. Settle down. Settle down back there, boys. I know that God is getting ready to do something that is very, very unique and different concerning where we're going. But we first have to see what is going to begin the process. Amen. We have to understand that God begins to speak to us, and people think that you're just going to receive your blessing just because. It is conditional. He speaks and you must respond. When you respond to what he says for you to do, know that he's already given you the power to do it. He's not going to tell you to do something that he hasn't given you the power to do. Y'all, you've already missed the principle of God. He's going to tell you to do something because he's already given you the power to do it. He's not going to tell you to do something that he hasn't empowered you to do. And people have this mindset that the only way things are going to get better is if I go through a whole new change of my life and begin to make some change in some spiritual things. And I begin to read the word a little bit more and I divide it and dissect it and tell you my revelation. That's not changing anything. You're just getting knowledge. But knowledge without power is just knowledge. But knowledge with fire, coupled together by the Holy Spirit, you begin to see a demonstration of God's glory. You understand that? There's many people that want to get into this realm of glory but don't understand the glory. It's better for you to have an understanding of God's glory in his word that connected with the Holy Spirit, you begin to see a demonstration of God's glory. You first have to touch God. And when you touch God, you'll see a demonstration of what you need God to do in your life. How many of you need God to do something right now in your life? Whether it be healing, whether it be a supernatural breakthrough that is necessary for your life. And how many of you need a miracle right now? Okay, here's the thing. I'm about to blow your theological mind. A miracle is something that defies the law of this land. It's got to be supernatural that the natural could have never done. A miracle is displayed when the Israelites went through the Red Sea. What did God do? He separated the waters. That's a miracle. Praying for the sick is not a miracle. Praying for the sick is a mandate. Because he's already given you the power to do it. And he didn't say only the elite pray for the sick. Only those that are called with the healing power of God to pray for the sick. He never said that. No, he said, you go. And you set the captives free. You pray for those that are sick. He says, signs and wonders follow those that believe. And people have this philosophy, oh, they didn't get healed because they didn't believe. That's not what the scripture says. The scripture says when you pray, you believe. Then they'll be healed. Not them being prayed for, the ones that need to believe. It's you, the one that is doing the praying, needs to believe in the prayer that you're praying. And then you'll see demonstration of God's glory. One of the things I told them over there is that I don't care if you have faith or not. I have enough faith for you. I didn't come to play patty cake with them. I didn't. And I told them. Pope will tell you right now if I'm lying. I said, I didn't come here to ask whether or not you have faith. I have enough faith for you. That when I pray, I believe what I pray. That it's going to be done. That's what the Bible says. But the only way I had that realization that what was about to take place in my life is I had to get deprogrammed from religion. And some of you, I don't want to like this, but he took me out of church. He took me completely out of church. He says, you know what? Let me put you over here. And sit down. Don't go to church no more because I need to talk to you. And I thought, I know the word. I know the word, God. What's up? Because you know the word that has you so bound that you put that word on what you were taught and how you were taught, you put it on people that you come in contact with. That's not my word. My word brings liberty. My word brings a demonstration of his goodness.
Amen.
I said, well, how are we going to get that? He says, seek me. Ask him this. Who will touch God? Will you touch God? Will you? Do you want to touch God? Do you know that you can touch God? And the touching of God is not because you come to church. The touching of God comes because you're seeking after him. Get your Bibles, if you would, please. And turn to Luke 8:42. Luke 8:42. A beautiful young lady in this congregation that tells me, give me your watch. So why do you want my watch? Because you keep looking at it. Quit looking at it. Okay. I'll quit looking at it. I'm just going to do what I got to do. Luke 8:42 through 48. I will begin reading in Luke 8:42. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her blood stopped. Verse 45 says, who touched me? Jesus asked. And when they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. It would be just like Peter to tell him the truth, right? But Jesus says, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. I want to use this basis of this particular scripture to tell you, you can touch God. The preface to this Luke 8:42 is, that Jesus was on the way to go heal another daughter that was 12 years old. But on the way of going to go heal the 12-year-old, a woman with an issue of blood for 12 years stopped Jesus on his tracks. Your faith can alter things for your life. You first have to desire to touch him, though. The scripture says that she said, if I could only touch him, then I will be made whole. She purposed in her heart, after spending everything she had, after giving all the doctors everything, she was still not healed. How many of you think that that's desperation? How many of you have been in a desperate place where you say, I got to touch God? Because I've tried everything my way and nothing's changed. I have got to touch. If I only could touch him, I'll be made whole. Then my question to you is, how come you're not touching him? Or is it because you're too comfortable where you're at? Because you're not challenged enough? What is the reason that you haven't touched God? Because when I read in scripture, every time someone came near Jesus that had an inclination of who he is, here's the key. First principle is knowing who he is. See, she had only heard of his exploits, what he had been doing, where he was going, of all the healing and miracles that he was doing. So she heard and said, wait a minute, I don't know who he is, but I've heard and what he can do. But if I can only touch him, I know the scripture says if I can only just touch the hem of his garment. But touching his garment is touching him. There was people that I was ministering, and I would walk down the aisle, and they would do kind of like some kids would do in here. They just wanted to touch my coat. They just wanted to touch the coat. I'd see their hands go like this, and when I'm under the prophetic, I see every movement. And I would look, and I'd catch them, and their hands would go like this. And I could see, and they were just touching my coat. It touched me. You understand what I'm talking about? If people can see that if you could touch Jesus, your life will be changed. It's not about what you know, or not about knowing Jesus at a distance. She knew him from afar. She knew there is someone in the land that I don't know anything about, but I hear the stories and the reports of what he's doing that is going to make me leave out of my comfort zone, knowing that I can be killed from going into a public place. Are you understanding this? So I've heard this pastor. Everybody preaches on this story all the time, so you ain't telling me nothing that I don't already know. Maybe you need to hear it again because you're too comfortable. She put herself in a position where she could be killed. She was not supposed to be anywhere near the people. She was supposed to be isolated. Not even in the city or the synagogue. Thank God Jesus wasn't in the church. He was on the way to go do his business. But she touched him. And Peter, you know Peter. Peter knows everything. Peter got revelation that he is the Son of God. When Peter speaks, everybody listens. You know Peter. You have somebody, Peters, in your life that they know everything. They tell you everything. Send you scripture all the time telling you, you mess. This is what's going on in your life. You shouldn't be this way. Because you got Peters in your life that irritate you. Yeah. You got Peters in your life that tell you stuff that you're like, I already know this. Yeah. You're not helping. You're not changing my situation. Right. You're making it worse. Making me mad. I'm about to take that sword of yours, Peter, and cut your ear off. Maybe you quit calling me. Texting me. Y'all want to hear this? I'm happy. But if we don't cut off the jokers in your life, you're never going to touch God. Because you're going to hear all this kind of negativity talking to you. That you can't. Something along the line told her she could. Desperation begins to cry out. It says she spent everything she had for 12 years. That's a lot. That's a lot. That's not the little alms that are given. She was desperately seeking for a change in her life. But it didn't come through the money. I could preach on a whole different subject right there. You give them to a pastor, a prophet, saying that the Lord told me to give this, I'm going to be blessed. That's not word. That's not word. Well, if you give to the prophet, you get a prophet's reward. Mm-mm, you better hear God tell you first. Not just doing it just because of their position. You know how many times she probably gave to a physician and said nothing happened, nothing's going to take place, nothing changed? There's proof right there. You yourself can touch God for that change that you need in your life. But if you don't seek after God with a real pursuit, don't expect change. He's going to challenge you out of your comfort zone. Trust me, I know. Getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning in Kenya, Africa, just staring at a bed covered with the mosquito net because I can't move because there's mosquitoes right outside the net. Every now and then one would get in the net and all you hear is zzz. Zzz. I don't want no malaria. We'll find that mosquito. And then it knows when you're looking for it, then it hides. It hides. So at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm getting woken up. And I'm like, what am I going to do now? Where's the sleep? Well, isn't silence awkward? He wouldn't speak to me until I got out of bed. I need to talk to you, but I ain't telling you I need to talk to you. I'm going to let you lay there until you desire to seek me. So here I go, get my iPad, because I could see at night. And I go to the office because it's Kenya. Their internet's not like this internet over here. It would go out. Just like that. Go out. I'll be talking to her over the internet. Go out. So I'd get up at 3 o'clock in the morning every single night. And I know we're up because I'd look over here. Pope was looking at me. I can't sleep either. I know I can't sleep either. What are you going to do? Oh, I'm going to go study. So I'd go into the office. Open up the Bible app. Getting ready to start reading. He said, no. I said, seek me. I'm like, yeah, I'm getting in the Word. No, that's not seeking me. That's finding knowledge about me. Seek me. Me. Come touch me. I said, oh, I got this. Now I understand. See, I had a mindset that I had to get in the Word to find out who God is. He says, no, the Word will confirm who I am. So that when I begin to speak to you, go to the Word and it will confirm what I just spoke to you. Seek me first. So I begin to go in there at 3 o'clock in the morning, every morning, and I begin to pray to God. Lord, I just want to just thank you that I'm alive, that you brought me here safely. And that my family is safe at home. That there's an ability for me to contact my family. Not that anything can be done, but at least I can talk to them. I thank you for that ability. And I begin to just start thanking him. What does the Bible say? You enter his gates with thanksgiving. He teaches his disciples how to pray. Does he not? Everybody thinks that's the staple prayer, the prayer to pray. The Lord's Prayer. That's not the Lord's Prayer. That's the disciples' prayer. Teaching them how to pray. Why does he have to teach them how to pray? Because they didn't know how to pray. He had to teach them that first you enter his gates with thanksgiving. And I began to thank God for everything that he was doing. I didn't even seek. No, I know how to seek the Word for people. He said, no, seek me, seek me. You need me more than you need that Word. You need me. And then you wonder why when you get in situations that you don't know how to call on him. Because you haven't sought him first. So I began to pray and ask God, what is it that you want to show me about you? Because I want to learn more about you. Show me. He says, every time in Scripture when they sought after me, what took place? I don't know. You tell me. He said, no. Now search it out. So then I would go to the Scripture and start looking. Every time in Scripture that someone was healed by Jesus, their faith touched him. Except one time. I preached this in Kenya right after this time that I had an encounter with God in the office. He says, the one that got healed that didn't even know who Jesus was, didn't even know Jesus was a healer, didn't even know that Jesus was standing in front of him, didn't even know his name. It was when the pool began to get stirred up that there was a man that was crippled. For 38 years, laying there. Jesus walks up. Then he cries out, hey, can you help me in the water? Didn't ask for Jesus to heal him. Didn't even know who he was. Jesus, what do you want me to do for you? Just get me in the water so I can be healed. This is what Jesus says. Pick up your mat. And walk. What did the man do? Picked up his mat and he walked. And he walked. Did he know Jesus? No, he didn't know Jesus at all. Didn't even know who Jesus was. Didn't even know that Jesus could heal people. And that's when the Lord told me. He says, if you just do what I tell you to do, I can bring healing into your life. But it's going to require you to do what I just spoke out of my mouth. Get up is the first word that came out of his mouth to that man. Get up to someone that's been down for 38 years. How many of you are willing to try that? You say it, but then you walk up to that person and you see like, oh, shoot. And you pray from a distance. Because you don't want to get out of your comfort zone. And in the name of Jesus, I declare that you to get up and rise and walk. Didn't happen. Oh, well. And move on. It's not you that brings the healing. It's the great physician that brings the healing. But if you don't activate your faith, you're just going to keep looking at the ones that have a cross on their necklace or carrying a Bible. Oh, then you'll be spiritual then. But sometimes you just got to pray for people regardless. Because at some point, it'll be activated and something will take place. This woman with the issue of blood knew Jesus only at a distance, only from what she heard. But she pressed through everything that was negative and everything that kept her away. She pressed through. And because she pressed through, this was a woman first with an issue of blood. But after the touch, he says, now, daughter, arise. Do you see the shift? Do you see a shift? It went from just a woman to now relationship as a son, a daughter. Now arise. Why? Because anything that you're in need of, anything, if you could but yet just touch him, change can take place. But the problem that has happened, and I've seen this over there in Kenya as well, is that people begin to develop other gods. You're no different than them over there. They're no different from you over here. We develop gods in our life. Anything you put before God becomes an idol. Anything. You can go down that checklist yourself and say, what have I put before God? You know exactly which one. That becomes an idol. Put you in a state of comfort. And that you think that everything's going to be okay just as long as time heals. I've seen a lot of old people that have been sick and time did not heal them. The only thing that heals is God. Is a touch of God. How many of you are willing to touch God? Are you really willing to touch God? If you're willing to touch God, he's going to get you out of your comfort zone. Look to your neighbor and say, he's going to get you out of your comfort zone. Come on. He's going to get you out of your comfort zone. He's going to make you go even further than what you know. He's going to make you go deeper than wherever you've been, only to take you higher than you've ever imagined. Don't take me down, God. No, he's going to take you lower than the low so that you require that desperation for him. Wow. You can rebuke what I just said. Oh, I rebuke that. I'm not going. Guess what? You're going down. Because you have put yourself in a place that is comfortable. And he is going to take you down so that he can lift you up. And guess who gets glory? Not the physician. Not the pharmacist. Not the corner drug dealer. Not the Sancho or the Sancha. Just be real in this house. Or the significant other right now in the season that you're in for right now. Change relationships as much as you change your shirts. And then we wonder why we can't have covenant relationship in church no more. You don't understand covenant. You understand comfort. Feels good for a moment. But how are you really going to develop in a relationship unless you understand covenant? If you've been believing God for a relationship in your life, raise your hand. I hope we're talking about relationship. You already have one. I'm not talking relationship with God. A relationship, you know, physical relationship. Okay. I'm just making sure now. Just making sure we understand this one. I saw some married folk go, I want one. You got one. Put your hand down. That's what I'm talking about. The relationship, like, I ain't got one and I'm ready for one, right? Okay, that's what I'm talking about. When you understand covenant and understand that you must be respected so that you can give respect out, you'll begin to understand what covenant really is. Not just another fling that walks by you and says, "Oh, you fine. I know I'm fine. You got no business looking in my direction unless God says that you're mine." Is that right, baby? Come on, baby. Shoo. What you say? I said, you ain't looking at me because what you're looking is tooken. I'm talking. But you got to understand something about covenant. When you understand covenant is that he made a covenant with you. That if you seek me, you will find me. If you knock, I will open the door. The problem is we don't want to seek. We don't want to knock. Because when God is in one season of your life where you can find him in the word, the next season of your life, he's not there. Oh, can I just use your Bible, baby? Because you're so fine and smile. You're just so beautiful. Can you kind of stand up with me? Come here, baby. Come here. Can you hold this for me? Solo my wife. Solo my wife. How many of you do this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my word. There is no one like God. Amen. Amen. That's my word. You go through a season and God speaks to you that way. Yeah, does he not?
Exactly.
Then all of a sudden another season comes. You're like, look at Job. Oh, no. That ain't right. Or you go to this one, you're like, Revelation. I don't even understand that white horse rider and then the horns and, oh, what's, no, I ain't, that's not my word. And then you really start seeking God and you start looking and you start looking and you still ain't found him, but you're learning. Because he's not where you thought he once was. He wants you to seek him. I like this, follow me. And now it's like, well, I can't find him in my word. What do I do next? Maybe I have to learn to pursue him in prayer. Right? So there's a season where your Bible goes down. And some of y'all scholars and all you theologians in here, like, no, you never put your word down. I can't eat. No, I can't eat, but I want to qualify this. I can only eat so much where I can't eat no more. I have to digest, and it has to become a part of me in order for me to move on to the next feeding, right? It's the same thing when you're reading your word. You're reading it and reading it, and you're getting knowledge, but it hasn't become a part of you. Something has to activate the word that's already inside of you. So you go through a season where you can't find God, and you have to start seeking him through prayer. And then it's not the prayer that you used to pray. You know that checklist you take into the closet with you? Got to pray for Pastor because he's got that eating spirit on him. And got to get him delivered from coffee, and we got to pray for that one. We got to pray that, you know, he starts wearing suits because he says he likes suits. You got to pray for him. And then you go through a checklist, right? Of course, y'all ain't praying for Pastor like that. I know that. Well, maybe about the coffee. But Then you go, you got to pray for Sister So-and-so because she had that issue last week. And we had to pray for that. And then that message that came across, I wasn't too sure that was really Pastor's word. I think it was somebody else's word. So I think I'm just going to pray for that one because he really missed it on that one. And you go through a checklist. You know, you just start praying. You're just checking like that because you think that you've got to go through a checklist before you find God. Then after you go through your checklist and you've got nothing else to pray anymore, and you're sitting there and you're doing, I don't want to pray no more. then he's waiting on you to activate your prayer language. And some of you that don't have your prayer language, you know, speaking in tongues in prayer, it's time for you to desire it a lot. A lot. Because that is for you. Little kids got baptized in the Holy Ghost over there, speaking in tongues, because they wanted it. And it was simple. I didn't touch them. You want it? Yeah, you have it. Went out. That's it. You can have it too. It's not for the spiritual elite. Ain't for that. The real intercession comes in when it comes deep within your groaning. See, because if you're seeking God, you haven't found him. It's because he wants you to find him. Those that are pursuing after him will find him. But those that are comfortable where they're at won't continue to seek after him because they like where they've been. That's not her. She wanted something different. She wanted a change. How many of you want change? Real change. Come on, look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. You want change? Tell him. You want change? You want change? I don't mean the, I want real change. Not the jingling in my pocket. I want change. Why do you want change? Because God desires for you to be elevated and transformed. Into what image? His image. You're never going to be transformed into his image if you stay in the place of comfort. The only way you're really going to seek God is when a situation arises. To the point where you know you got to start praying when you see people carrying a machine gun everywhere you go. And one of the barrels is facing right at you. Yeah, look behind you. Look at Popo. Look at Popo right now. That took place. You're like, oh, hope we don't go over a bump and that thing actually go off. It was pointing right at his head this way. Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't hear him praying, but he was praying in the spirit. I felt it. Because I was right behind him. Because if it missed him, it hit me. True story. First day in town. I said, Lord, why'd you bring me to this place over here? I thought we were going to be in a nice place. And it wasn't those little 22 bullets. This was big. It had done some damage. Some things come into your life so that you can seek after God. How many of you want a real touch from God? Huh? You want a real touch from God? Do you know that Jesus came to this earth to fulfill that very thing so that heaven can invade earth? Do you know that? I want him to invade my life, but I first have to touch him. How many of you want to touch him? You want to touch him? I got a few more minutes, Promise. Okay. Hebrews 4:15. Turn there real quick, and I'm going to stop here because I don't want to rush through this. I want to teach this. This will be the last scripture, I promise you, today. Hebrews 4:15-16. If you're taking notes, which you should be in the habit of taking notes, you know what? If you ever want to send anything to Kenya, pen and paper. Pen and paper. You know what you want to send for kids over there? Soccer balls. Those kids will play with those plastic bags rolled up, taped together, and that's their soccer ball. And happy playing. I mean happy. But when we gave them the soccer ball that we took over there, God, you couldn't stop them from smiling. They played every day, all night. Get up in the morning, they played all day, all night. We had some, because over there at Papa Louie's house, they have these two huge German shepherds. Huge. And I don't mean the skinny back end. I mean full. Like they, when they brush up against you, almost knock me over. That's their security guards for at night, because they only let them out of their pens at night to patrol the whole compound. So we told the boys, put those balls up at night before the dogs get a hold of them. And the dad says, John was his name. John says, yeah, we've had a couple of balls that they've given us before, but the dogs get to it, and then one bite, it pops them. So I said, put me up at night, too, because I don't want to get bit. Big old dogs. Happy, very happy. Now, if you would, if you're there at Hebrews 4:15, say amen. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, I want to, do you see that he is not a high priest that cannot be touched? He wants to be touched. This is the only God that wants relationship. Every other man-made God, all these spiritualists, they want to create trees as their gods or crystals. Buddha, Muhammad, all these other religions are gods that are not personal gods. Jesus came so that we could see the likeness of the Father. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. And if you accept me, you accept the Father. What was Jesus showing us? Our God wants a relationship. Our God wants to speak to us. Our God wants us to touch him. And in turn, he can touch us. When I got home, my kids probably were so tired of me kissing them. Especially one of them. Y'all already know that one. Hannah, come here. Running around that way. Hannah! I love you, Hannah. It's just my relationship with Hannah. Till she got in her bed, I tackled her. I got my kisses. True. That's what I'm trying to show you. Is that when that season in your life where you feel that God is not near, every now and then he just shows up on the scene and he just loves on you. He gives his love to you. He says, I don't care how much you run away from me. I'm going to find you. I'm going to grab hold of you. And I'm going to kiss you with my grace and my mercy. And I'm about to pour out a blessing on your life just because I love you. When you are alone and you feel like you can't make it, is that very time to say, God, I know you're here. Display your love because I need it right now. I want to tell you something with being very delicate about this. Hear me in my heart. Hear my heart. That short period of time that he was there, he left with the residue anointing that is in your life. It will begin to break some things off. Don't quit praying. He needs God. And it's going to come because your love and your love. And please hear my heart, please. I questioned it. I keep telling this young man, my son, something great is about to happen for them. Great. But when he left, he took your prayers with him. Understand, what you pray is not in vain. Amen. What you believe God for is not in vain. You may not see the fruits right away, but you hold on to it, because eventually there may be that one time that somebody walks into that sphere of your influence and they feel the touch of God because of your prayers. And because of your pursuit after God, that you've touched God, that heaven can invade earth and invade everyone that is around you to make change in their life. That's what took place with the woman of the issue of blood. She had enough faith in her to make change that it changed the whole course of even the way the disciples thought. People around her realized there is goodness coming from him. Then he turned around and didn't call her woman, but called her daughter. Our God is a compassionate God that loves us and wants to, for us to have a relationship. Don't lose sight of that. Understand it. Pursue after him and knock and knock and knock and knock and knock and knock. And then you say, but I'm not knocking for myself. I'm knocking for somebody else. Then don't quit. You keep knocking because eventually it'll turn around. I prophesied to you and you that by November, I said in 6 months, you'll see a turnaround. You've already stepped into that prophetic word. But the second part of that was watch what God is going to do within the family. Now watch this. Before the first quarter ends in 2015, your auntie will be sitting right here in this sanctuary worshiping the God that you serve, the same God together that you have witnessed together, growing up together. And watch as she begins to understand something, and there's going to be a change that's going to take place. Because it's your prayers that availeth much. And that very opposition will be no more. No more. I know what I hear. Willie, stand up to your feet. Josh, will you get started, please? So to close your eyes and lift up your hands. I have ordained a ministry to be around you. I have ordained them to be right there next to you so they can deposit in you what you're in need of. You have felt that you have drifted away from him. God says, you haven't left me. I'm making you pursue after me. And through this, you think that you don't have an understanding enough like them. But what I'm going to do through you will begin to open their eyes to the power of God that you have witnessed through your eyes. Beloved, I have marked you and called you from the day that you were formed in your mother's womb. And through the turmoil and through the chaos that is taking place right now, know this, beloved, I'm about to break open right now a window of opportunity for the house. That I will silence that very storm that has come raging against the house, and I will remove the adversity that has come in. But know this, what I've put inside of you is the word of the Lord. And when you begin to speak this thing in the atmosphere, they will understand that you have an understanding of who God is. It's not about what you have read, it's about how you know him. And I will put in you a new sound. That they will come to you and ask you, how do you know this? Because now in this season, you need to seek me more, says God. You need to seek me more. You can find me right where you're at. You can find me as you even begin to walk down the corridor of your hallway. And know this, that I'm walking with you. You felt me. You felt me when you were moving in. Something is different, God. Something is different inside of me. And I know this because I can see you walking. And he's walking ahead of you to prepare the way for you. And I'm going to make a change for you, William. I'm going to make a change for you because it is your season to bring holiness back into the house. My God, today, I'm bringing healing into your sister. And know this, the prophetic word of God will not return void unto me, says God. It shall accomplish what it was set out to do. And you shall hold your precious baby in your hands. And know this, that you will be a great uncle unto her. You're going to see miracle after miracle after miracle. Seek him with all your might and strength. And do not let go. Do not let go. Because you're going to see the hand of God move on your behalf. I seek after one in a household that can bring my glory back into the household. That I can save a whole family for one that believes. And I can bring healing because the one that believes. Speak that into existence into your very spirit in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Joseph, stand up to your feet. Come on. Come on. Michael, get my oil, please. please come over here. Both of you, you may not understand it all, but I'm going to work through you, and I'm going to grab a hold of her, says the Spirit of God. I'm going to bring her to an understanding of who I really am. And what you don't know, God's going to give you to speak, and it'll come with understanding for her, because God is really seeking after her. She's got a precious gift of writing, and she writes so much that she has so much pain within her. I'm going to speak to her. And God's going to reveal himself to her. You are precious in his eyes. Precious. Precious. I have so desired to be closer to you. Just like Daddy God desires to be close to you. I feel your pain. Mama, come up here. Draw him closer because you have an understanding in your heart that can never be taken away. But I have put in him a dream that you are about to interpret for him. This is a setup. You'll notice it in him when you go and visit Joseph. You'll see that change. I just philosophy this and philosophy that. It's philosophy. And there's going to be a realness. Is going to come to you. And when that meeting is set up at your apartment, it's going to be full of people that are fools. But the power of God will speak and transform the way they think. It's not in vain, Joseph. It's not in vain. Watch as even more becomes relevant to you. You are a blessed, anointed man of God that I'm going to use to transform the lives of this next generation. I anoint you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. You are prepared, but seek him too. Seek him and find him and don't let go. Seek him so that you can teach them how to seek him. Jesus' name. Amen. You know exactly what she feels. Because you felt it too. And you want to take it all away from her so she doesn't have to wait. The love that you have for him. Thank you for spending time with us. Thank you. Because I know that when she touched Jesus, she was healed immediately. That what nothing, no one can do for 12 years. Continue to pray, Joseph. Because it's going to manifest right before your very eyes. Jesus, my Lord. blessings, blessings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Eric Carlos, thank you. A vision of your aunt, and I saw her crying at your table, just crying and crying, but it wasn't sorrow. She had the very encounter that you're desiring yourself. When you went to go and see what was wrong, you knew immediately, because you began to sense the very same thing. Beloved, it's been a setup for you to have these meetings in your home, because God has invaded your very space so he can bring an invasion of heaven into her home. But what you're desiring right now is what I've been speaking about, is I want that very touch. I want that very touch. And God has heard it. It's a touch that is different than your husband, but it's a touch that you need. You desire. Keep your heart open for God. And watch him just come in and bring such a change that you will truly know God has visited you. Man of God, I tell you right now, all kinds of things are about to just start happening for you very rapidly. I can tell you this from experience. But it's because you desire more. More. It's easy for you to tell your testimony. It's easy for you to speak in front of people. That's not hard for you. But what God wants to do through you is going to be very difficult. To bring change to people that don't think they need change. But through you, change is coming. I bless you, sir. So when the old church tries to come around, which they always try to do, the seraphim angel will blot out any word that is trying to be spoken into your ear gates to bring about purity and wholeness. That every time they try to curse, only a blessing is going to come forth. To erect a new kingdom in your life where your son will be an epicenter to what is taking place in this city.
He will travel much, but he is called into this city to bring about a great revival. He is not to change his ways. He's to acknowledge his ways and watch as God begins to pour out from him. Sylvia, stand right next to her. Your son is about to experience that same grace on his life because I have called him as a visionary. As I began to speak to her, I saw Bud standing right next to Derek, doing a work in the kingdom of God, maybe not together, but doing it at the same time, doing it together for the kingdom of God. Where everybody counted them out, God has said, I have counted them a blessing into the kingdom of God. And you will see the hand of God bring victory on every area of his life, as well as Derek's. Oh my God. What has been held up for him is being released. What has been held up from him is being released. You're a man of faith. You're a studious man. You understand the word. You understand him. But there's something that you're desiring, that there is a move that is beginning to move in your direction. There's a wind blowing in your direction towards your home, towards your family, that is about to bring a restoration into your family and healing that is necessary for you. The Spirit of God told me to tell you, thank you. Thank you. You're a man of faith. Integrity. But people don't see that about you all the time. I hear the Spirit of God saying, I'm about to release to you so much understanding and revelation. You're a blessed man of God. There is healing for you. Come to try to sift you as wheat, try to take you out of this very house. Begin lies over your life and through your ears, declaring unto you that you are not being used. But know this, beloved, that the Spirit of God speaks truth and speaks with authority. That every time a lying spirit will try to enter in, that you will have the discerning spirit to discern the very spirits. That you're not taken out of the fold, but not taken out of the will of God either. You are called to international ministry, but you are called also to the local ministry. You will do things in order, precept upon precept, line upon line, and the things of God will be displayed by the love of God. The enemy has tried to separate you over and over and over again. Your brothers
through thick and thin. Not through relationships that come and go, because they will come and go. Stay focused, beloved, because I see you traveling internationally. If you don't have your passport, get them ready. Get them ready. You're the son of this house, and of the covering of this house, you will be sent to do the work of the kingdom of God internationally and nationally. Beloved, hold fast and hold firm, steadfast in the things of God. Do not let every lying and giggling spirit that will enter in to try to tell you this is what you must do or that you're not called to do. I speak as your spiritual father right now in Jesus' mighty name. I declare unto you the goodness of God and declare unto you the manifest presence of God in your very ministry, your very life, and the things that you're in need of right now. When I spoke to your son on the phone, I heard the prophet beginning to call out unto God, beginning to say, God, I need to see things greater than what you have said. When he goes to A&M, watch as God begins to use him even right there in that place. I remember prophesying in that office that God was going to use him at a young age. I have made preparations and provisions for him, that I would do great exploits through him. Beloved, keep your eyes on God as he begins to take you. Don't listen to no lying spirit that, oh, you got to hear God and God is going to tell you what to do. Beloved, God places people of authority over your life so that you submit to authority, so that God can begin to move to the authority to take you to the places of authority that you've never been. You will never usurp authority again. You will understand where you belong, and God will begin to demonstrate his glory through you. They will be manifested. They will talk about it and say, my God, it is still resonating in the people. It's not something that just came by wind. It is something that is forever lasting, because the word of the Lord will not return void unto him. You will see demonstration of God's power. Be teachable. Be teachable. Let me move through you, says the Spirit of God. Let me show you things you know not of. Let your mind be removed and let my mind be upon you. Let my spirit begin to teach you. Let my spirit begin to uproot in you the things that have caused you to go backwards. Now let the very Spirit of God that is moving you forward be the thing that catapults you into your destiny. And know this, as my son lays hands on you, you receive the spirit of adoption and sonship in this very house. When the enemy tries to come in and tell you, you're not being used, you need to go here, you need to do that, beloved, be still until you hear Daddy speak. All kinds of turmoil is taking place in your life. Beloved, peace, be still. You will step foot on foreign soil because I've orchestrated and ordained it. You've wanted to leave over 6 times already, but you didn't have peace. And I thank God that you listened to that. Your destiny is where God has called you to be. It's not about building my ministry. It's about praying for my ministry. And God lifts your ministry up. There's a lying spirit that says there's control. There's control. That's a lying spirit from God. Control is necessary so that you can grow in the admonition of God, respecting authority, so that you can be catapulted into a place of authority by learning how to submit to authority. Let your spirit man hear the Spirit of God. Hear the Spirit of God. Don't wrestle with it. Receive it. God is doing a new thing, Oscar. Let him do it. And all the turmoil that is taking place in your home, recognize. Recognize. Deal with the Spirit, not the people, the Spirit. I will bring victory in your home. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name.
spiritual daughter, lays her hands on your heart. Know this, that every spiritual soul tie is broken off of you, so that you can be loosed into your destiny and loosed into the things of God that are called for your life. But spiritual soul ties keep you bound. You must cut them and let them go so that you can grow in the things of God. And Sri, I want you to pray over her and continue to release into her a spirit of sonship in this house, to know that she's a daughter and she can receive the blessings that are afforded to her because she's listened and obeyed God. I bless you, beloved. I bless you. You will see change. See the fun that you miss. Fun and joy is what y'all miss the most. And I declare in your home, you will see it, experience, and live it together. It's coming back. Because this lying spirit has been found out and is bound now in the name of Jesus. Favor has been on this family. And you're going to see your family and your person more than you ever thought. More. trust the Spirit of God. Trust the Spirit. He won't step foot in churches, he'll step foot in hotels. So that no church can say, look at what I have. He said, no, come, sit down. Hear the Spirit of God. Hear the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Sitting still. Thank you. A lot of healing took place. A lot. If you didn't get spoken to direct, don't think that God didn't hear your cries where you sit. Or what you desire where you sit. And how much of change you want. And He knows what you go through. He knows. Her God, right where she's at. Just touch her. She needs that peace right away. She's experienced something she hasn't experienced before, but she's desired to know what is happening. And there's healing coming to her and into the family. There's a lot of fighting going on in the family. There's a lot of it. And I speak against it now in the name of Jesus. That there's forgiveness and wholeness being brought back into the family to restore the family and to give you peace from the fear that you carry. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I speak the perfected love into her very life that cast out all fear. No more fear, baby. No more fear. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Look, I really do try to be mindful of time because I know we all have family. And we have things we got to do. And I understand that. I want you to bring it next Sunday so that you can do the tithes and offering. I appreciate it. I had great reports. That's why I said I want to do it again. Amen. This is my cousin here. That's it. Favorite cousin. Thank you guys so much. So much. For being still and allowing the Spirit of God to minister. Amen. As the porters are handing out the envelopes right now for your tithes and offering, don't sit down. Don't sit. Don't reach for your purse yet. Let them come to you. Let them come to you. It's okay. I want you to understand one thing. That God's intention is to bless you. The blessing isn't always money. It's restoration of family, restoration of the heart, healing, making you whole where some part of your life was fractured because of pain or situations in your life. That's what He wants to bring wholeness to. And for others, it's a need of an increase of money. You can deny it all you want. But He's given you power to do what? Obtain wealth. Why is that important? It is important because God wants to see His family blessed. It'd be one thing to say, I want my children to understand how good God is and remain poor. No clothes, the same clothes every single day. No food, just whatever we get. Is that a real father? No. The father wants the best for his children. Better than what the father has. How many of you that have children want the good things for your children, right? Okay, I hear this too. You cat lovers and dog lovers, I don't have no kids. You want the best for your cat and your dog. I know this. I know this. That's the kind of love that our Father has for us. I want the best for my children so they can enjoy the best that I have for them. Don't walk around thinking all these prosperity messages that go out across the land or on TV, whatever, is fake. It's not fake. There's other facets to it that need to come along with it. Not just naming, proclaiming, and receiving. Because that ain't going to happen. I'll just tell you right now. You got to activate what you've learned.
And the activation comes in your seed, your giving, by trusting Him, trusting your word. Amen? Your tithe shouldn't even be called your tithe. It's His tithe. It's His. He gave you 90. He's only requiring 10. That's a pretty good deal. Watch this. And then when you give the 10, He gives greater than what you've given. That's a good God. Banks won't do that. But if you give to God with a willing and cheerful heart, guess what He gives back to you? And the manner of what you sow is the manner of what you're going to reap. If you're counting to the very penny of your tenth, guess what? God's going to count that very little blessing back to you. That's it. Sometimes He requires more. You know it, because He's tested you. You're almost supposed to give how much? I'm about to give my new kicks, my new sneakers, new speakers in the car. Just playing. But if you just give with a cheerful heart, knowing that God's word is true, He'll bless you. What you put in the ground is what you reap, right? If you put an apple seed in the ground, what are you going to get when it grows? Apple. But is it just one apple? No. A lot of apples, but you only put one seed. Isn't that amazing? That is the law of God. Give me one seed, and I'll give you many more. Amen? So when you're given today, give that one seed, whatever it is. But watch when He gives you more seeds. This is what He says, though. I give seed to the sower. If you don't want to sow, guess what? Don't be looking for seed, because it ain't coming. But if you give it, guess what's coming back? More seed. Yes. It's the principle of the kingdom of God. You can't negate it. It's what He spoke will not return void. It has become now Logos, the written word that is established forever. Amen? If you have your envelopes, I know I didn't give you a chance to grab them. I apologize. I'm sorry. But if you have them ready, or if you haven't, it's okay. Let's get them ready. No, don't write on them. It's okay. It's all right. You're all right. It's good. God already knows, right? Now, if you want to get credit for your giving, then make sure you have your name on it. Because then at the end of the year, I'll give your recap back to you. Amen. And here's this. How many of you are believing for a miracle, supernatural miracle, and finances in your life right now? Right here. Well, there's a lot of hands up, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Then I'm going to believe God with you. That's what I'm going to believe. Believe God with you. There's a new property coming to your dad. There's a new property coming to your dad that you will manage, but you will also see that what they said that was all broken, dilapidated, and was broken, was not. It was covered by the hand of God, not hidden from you, but for you. That is going to bring a greater return of investment in what He puts out. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You right now in advance for the seeds, God, that are opening up the windows of heaven for them to receive such a blessing that they're going to do everything in their power to make room for it. God, I just thank You that they give with a willing heart, a cheerful heart, and Lord, that we see the supernatural hand of God move on their behalf. Ooh. Yes, my cousin. Ooh. Get the things on layaway now. Get the things on layaway right now. Go put it on there. I see invitations getting ready to go out for the shower. Put it on layaway by faith and watch what's going to happen. Watch what's going to happen. Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving. My God. Father, in Jesus' name, we give unto You. We thank You in advance. In Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may serve the Lord. Give us something, maestro. Give us something. Come on, man.